Hello, everybody, and welcome to the September Skewedcast for Skewed and Reviewed. I'm your host, Gareth von Kollenbach, creator and editor of Skewed and Reviewed and Skewed and Reviewed the magazine. And with me again is Justin from Outpost AVP, also does some work for our Phoenix office, and Joseph, the senior regional manager to the Seattle office. We're going to be talking about PAX Prime 2013. And beforehand, I'd like to apologize. I know we didn't get an August show up as we normally do, and that has to do with logistics and travel. We had a very, very busy month. We had the D23 Expo in Anaheim. We had Gamescom in Germany. We had PAX Prime coming up. We also had some Comic-Con wrap-up that we were doing, as well as working on the magazine. And a couple of times we talked about putting a show together, and it was just simply a matter of logistics where everybody was scattered all over the place. Key people were not available, and so we opted to just hold off and get back to you in September. But, you know, the plan is always that we do a show every month, and so I apologize that we missed a month. We're going to start off with some gaming and some hardware and some DVDs and then swing into PAX because we have a lot of stuff with that. But I wanted to talk about a couple of Blu-rays that really caught my eye. They're rather entertaining. The first one is Hatchet 3, starring Daniel Paris and Kane Hodder. For those of you that have not seen it, they have the uncut and unrated version of the mysterious swamp-dwelling maniac, Mr. Crawley. Yeah, that's right. That's not just an song by Ozzy Osbourne, but he is back. And of course, the great thing about this is it picks up where the last film left off, as did the previous one. And if you like, you know, violent, over-the-top action, blood, guts, and violent dismemberment, this is something you're going to want to check out. It is available right now and features crew commentary with writer-producer Adam Green, as well as cast commentary and much more, including featurettes and behind the scenes. It is definitely for fans of horror that like the over-the-top, shocking stuff, and you will not want to miss that. Now, another one that's out there is produced by Uwe Boll, but he did not write or direct this. This is a film called from Marco Ristori and Luca Boni, and it's called Zombie Massacre, and it very clearly tells us that there is no hope. Well, thankfully, it's not as bad as you might think, folks. It's actually quite entertaining. This is about a top-secret bacterial weapon that's developed by the government that creates an army of super soldiers. And what happens is, of course, it gets into a quiet town, mutant zombies come forth, and, of course, there you have it. Now, the great thing about it is that, you know, it doesn't have any named stars in it. It seems like the you know, perfect direct-to-DVD action film. But it's got a lot of energy to it. It's got a very fresh take on it, and it's incredibly a lot of fun. It's not going to make you forget The Walking Dead, but it is going to provide you several hours of quality entertainment. So you do want to check that out, Zombie Massacre. Switching over to hardware. Now, one of the things that people are always saying is that when you play their games online, you need better connectivity and better speed. Now, your internet connection can only carry you so far, and that's why I suggest the D-Link Wireless AC Smart Beam, and it's a 1750 Mbps Home Cloud Dual Band Gigabit Router. Now, that definitely sounds like a lot to take into account, but here's how it works. Basically, it's next-generation wireless technology that optimizes your performance and gives you reliable coverage, including quality HD streaming, gaming, and file transfers. For those who like Netflix, they'll know if you get a high enough quality transfer, you can get your presentations in HD format. And so with more and more people moving to that rather than getting the DVDs, this is a big thing. A lot of people like the massive online gaming. This is also something that you want. You can have dual band performance up to 450 Mbps, and it is incredibly fast. It gives you wireless speeds, less interference for maximum output. It's also backwards compatible with A/B/G/N devices. Simply put, it should work with any of your internet technology that you currently have in your household. It also offers cloud management, so you can monitor and manage your network from anywhere. And it offers gigabyte speed to 4 gigabit with 4 gigabit Ethernet ports for superior connectivity. You can pick this up at any hardware supplier. Traditionally, you see it on Amazon, and it is a very solid piece of work. It does occasionally, during our testing, it has dropped out a bit, but that has become very infrequent as of late, and it has been a very solid and reliable unit that we've been enjoying. So you want to check that out. We'll be continuing to do some coverage on that. Folks who have smartphones and iPhones and iPads in particular know about the cables and the connectors, and they will want to check out the Nibblers Cable Keep Green series. They have a connection of devices that you can use to plug in and to keep your cords safe. They come in all manner of colors, from green to dark blue to orange, and those are available for fans and owners of the Apple products. Another thing that we wanted to point out, and this one is very, very interesting, I saw this, it's the Scrubba Portable Wash Bags. Think of it as a backpack for those that are into the outdoorsy lifestyle, and essentially you can put your clothes in there, you can add some chemical, some detergents and some water, and as you go hiking, it actually washes your clothes for you in the time that you are walking, so therefore you get to your destination with fresh clothing. For people who camp out, they know that this can be a bit of a problem because you always need to get through socks and t-shirts and that sort of thing. Well, this way you have a, you know, way to multitask by saying, I'm going on my 10-mile hike and doing the laundry at the same time. So, guys, you know, for great way to score some points with the ladies by saying, don't worry about it, honey, I'll take care of the laundry. Just stick on your backpack. You can mow the lawn, do whatever you want with it, and things will get done. And believe it or not, they work exceptionally well. We had a few people test them out, and they could not, you know, speak higher of them. And wrapping up our hardware segments, we have a lot of good stuff here. First off, I want to talk about the SteelSeries Sensi Laser Gaming Mouse. This is the MLG Pro Grade Edition that comes in black. It's a very responsive and extremely impressive professional gaming mouse from the good folks at SteelSeries. We'll be talking about them a little later because we had the good fortune to talk with them at PAX. But once again, they continue to blow everyone away with their incredible products. Another product we want to talk about is the SteelSeries Apex Gaming Keyboard, as well as the Flame Orange Siberia V2 gaming headset with the built-in USB sound card. Very comfortable, very sturdy, with very, very sleek and high performance. The headset will definitely take care of all of your gaming needs and give you a great, you know, many years of life. It's the great thing about it is the retractable boom mic is extremely customizable. And it definitely is extremely sensitive. Even when retracted, you can still get all the audio you need. The designers just told us that they found that people actually feel more comfortable when the mic is in front of them, so hence why it retracts. The Apex Gaming Keyboard is an extremely fast, programmable keyboard that lights up. You can do all sorts of things with it. And it is designed to give a much faster and more thorough response to your gaming, yet retain an affordability, as you can get them for anywhere between $59 to $99, whether you get the Apex or the Apex Raw. And the great thing about it is not only is it sleek, it's stylish, it is durable beyond belief, and that is the Apex Gaming Keyboard. So I wanted to wrap up with a couple from Mionix, and that is the Ensign's 320 Brushed Aluminum Mouse Pad. Now, this is a very impressive mouse pad. It's a black mouse pad, but it comes with an aluminum reinforced frame to it. You do have to peel off a little bit of protective coating to it, but the great thing about it is you get a solid, durable piece of plastic that is the ideal gaming surface, not just for gaming, but for productivity, that is backed with an aluminum base to it to give it some strength and stability, yet maintaining a lightweight design. Now, when you have something like this, obviously you want to make sure that you have a, you know, proper product to use it on. And with that is the AVIOR 8200. This is an ambidextrous mouse that is available from Mionix. Now, I'm right-handed myself, so I haven't really had a concern about an ambidextrous mouse, but I know there are a lot of left-handed people out there that definitely look for a product. Now, this is an ambidextrous design, as we had described. It has a palm or claw grip, and it has a lightning-fast processor. You have 8200 DPI laser sensor, which gives you excellent tracking for all of your games, as well as 128K built-in memory, a customizable LED lighting system, and This, simply put, gives you a mouse that not only offers you high performance in all of the top-end games, everything from Borderlands 2, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, your desktop applications, it also gives you safe, responsive gameplay, because the last thing, even a fraction of a second lag, can be the difference between life or death. And in games, obviously not in real life. And it gives, lets you customize it with the settings. So definitely looking forward to doing some more coverage of this. This is the Mionix Ambidextrous Mouse AVIOR 8200. You can pick that up anywhere, including Amazon.com. Now, I do not have full reviews for these yet, but I wanted to make sure that we pointed out a few video games since we're about to talk video games. And the first one up is Diablo 3. It is available now for the PS3 and the Xbox 360 from Blizzard. And if you've not had a chance to check this out, you definitely want to do that. This is the, you know, first time that console people can get into the fabled world where you battle up to four people at a time, co-op, battle all sorts of medieval creatures on an epic quest. It's a fantastic game. Don't take my word for it. Just go ahead and try it out. You'll love it. One game that I'm enjoying right now that I'm playing very thoroughly is The Bureau XCOM Declassified by 2K Games. Now, when I first saw this a couple of years ago at E3, my first reaction was, gee, that's not the XCOM that I grew up with. Think a film noir-style 1960s XCOM meets the X-Files, and you have a little bit better idea. It's more of a tactical squad game in the sense that you command a couple of their units, and it is done as a third-person shooter. Like XCOM, you have to stop the enemy threat, research new technologies, take out the enemies. But one of the things that you do as the commander is that you pick your squad members that accompany you, and in the course of battle, you assign them various tasks. So, for example, you can tell them, go over here, snipe this target. Go over here, set up this piece of equipment. Go over here and revive me. Go over here, take out this target. I'll flank them, that sort of thing. You cannot just run and gun and do it yourself. You do need to have some assistance from your squad. And the great thing about it is it doesn't bog you down in micromanagement, which was my biggest concern when I first heard about it, was that in an XCOM game, I want to be shooting and taking out the bad guys. I don't want to have to be sitting here, you know, micromanaging battles and that sort of thing. I want to be in on the action. But thankfully, they have addressed that, and that is available right now. It is available in PC, Xbox 360, and PS3, The Bureau XCOM Declassified. And I do strongly recommend that because you guys, I think you're going to like that. So, getting over to the gaming time. One other game, can't forget. Lost Planet 3. Had a chance to have a look at this at Comic-Con. Playing it right now. Absolutely love it. Think of a prequel-esque take that includes not only great combat, wonderful ice and snow settings, and giant mechs, and being able to battle it out not only against other people, in the game, all manner of creatures. It's fantastic. We're going to be doing a full review of that very, very soon. We have an interview with the lead actor for it up right now. Okay, guys, so enough of the preamble and the intro. We've got PAX Prime to talk about. So, Joseph, you were there. We were there.
We were there.
Let's go ahead and tell us what you were thinking about. What really stood out to you? What were you surprised wasn't there, and what impressed you?
Well, let's start off with what I was surprised wasn't there, because I was really looking forward to two companies' presence there this year, but they just weren't there. One is Razer, and I've been a big fan of Razer for a while. They've got some quality products. Hell, I have a six-year-old Razer keyboard sitting on my desk right now. But they had no presence this year, and it seemed really strange, because every PAX that I've been to, they had a huge presence in the past. And considering the launch of some of their new equipment, I was really surprised that they weren't there, their new hardware anyways.
Yeah, and that was interesting because if you know, we saw their products at various booths, like the NVIDIA booth had Razer keyboards and headsets on hand when they were debuting it, but you're right. You know, I don't remember them having a gigantic presence at E3 either. And the last time I remember seeing them at a trade show was at CES, so it does definitely make you think.
The other company I was kind of surprised wasn't there was Rockstar. Considering we're, what, 12 days out from or 13 days out from their big release of Grand Theft Auto, I thought they would have had a bigger presence there, getting people hands-on with the game, getting people pumped and excited for it, yet I think they kind of just decided it wasn't worth it.
Especially with Grand Theft Auto Online coming, you know, that's kind of a two-for, but, you know, my thought is this is going to be very interesting to see how this pulls out, because, you know, in essence, they were not at E3 either, so essentially they're saying, we don't need the big conventions. Grand Theft Auto 5 is going to sell on its own without the need for doing the convention circuit.
Yeah. What I was really excited to see, both going into coming out, was the consoles, for one thing. The PlayStation 4 was just amazing. Holding the controller felt natural. Much more natural than the PlayStation 3 that we have now. But, you know, you and I got in to see the infamous Second Son gameplay demo. And it was just bone-chilling, amazing, the amount of detail that they've put into that game. Just how smooth it is. I mean, you know, we were commenting to each other, just sitting there looking at them prancing around the Pacific Science Center in Seattle made you feel like you were really there. I mean, they got everything down to the last little bit of detail, including the, you know, the dinosaur bones, the Space Needle, everything.
And I did some checking. The Space Needle is indeed scalable, and you will be allowed to climb it and jump off the top of it.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
So my big question though is it open world enough? Is Safeco Field and the Clink still going to be there in this near future? And if so, have the Seahawks won a Super Bowl yet? No. I think it's more likely they might than the Mariners. And the other question is, are the Sonics back? But, you know, we'll find out that in plenty of time.
You know, if the Sonics are not back, or if we get them back, I wonder if they're going to release a patch, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe get the hockey team. Justin, what do you have to input on your thoughts on PAX so far?
Well, I unfortunately didn't get to go. I've been kind of looking to go into PAX East because that's where I went last time. And really, I didn't. I just kind of followed the usual stuff. It didn't seem like there was anything that was just like world breaking at PAX. Although, I guess the biggest thing for me was, you know, growing up with Mega Man, the Inafune reveal at PAX for his Kickstarter campaign, which is basically, you know, his new Mega Man. Last I checked, it's almost doubled what they were asking for, so it's like a pretty successful project, it looks like, and Capcom's got to be kicking themselves in the foot, because, I mean, they haven't really done much with the license in the last several years, so, you know, that's what most interested me.
Yeah, what I found interesting was that I too went in going, okay, what are going to be the things here? Because, you know, PAX is a convention that, even though it has a sizable media presence, is first and foremost for fans. And it traditionally has not been a forum that companies have taken to making major announcements at. Now, that changed when Duke Nukem Forever was, you know, revealed there a few years back. And, you know, the great thing about it is, Joseph will let you know, is we got in there going, okay, you know, what's not here? Well, gee, Valve isn't here yet again, and this is in their own backyard, so no, you know, no Left 4 Dead 3, no Half-Life 3, no, you know, other things that we're all waiting to hear about, no Portal 3, no other new projects. Wow, you know, Electronic Arts wasn't there, but they had a presence by having, like, Battlefield 4 represented at the Xbox One booth. But once you got past that and you started looking around, it was like, hey, what is here is quite impressive. You know, like, for example, Sony rolled out Killzone Shadowfall right there. That was not, you know, readily available at other shows. You got your hands on it right there, bang. Got to play it, had a great time with it. Got to go over to Dying Light, the Warner Brothers booth, hands-on of Dying Light. At E3, it was simply, here's the video, it's coming in 2014, thank you very much. We were given two sessions, one a private room session with the build, and a second session on the floor. They let us take the one on the floor, but not in the private room. Kind of interesting, Joseph, you remember the gentleman that we met with, who was telling us how much he didn't like the new Xbox One controller, and how much he hopes that it'll be changed before it comes out, when we did our Dying Light hands-on?
Yep.
Yeah, I posted that story, and I've been called every name in the book, and everyone said that I've got this campaign to discredit the Xbox One and so on and so forth. And I'm like, I'm just, you know, they're like, oh, if you didn't have audio, it didn't happen and blah, blah, blah. So I ended up having to post an email from the publicist where we took her name, her email out, where we simply said, hey, what was the name of the guy we met with? You know, the guy who doesn't like the Xbox One controller. And once we posted that, as well as pictures of me sitting with him, people have kind of mellowed out a bit. But
it's funny because I bet you a lot of these people, though, too, have not actually sat down with it because, you know, like you and I got to play Dying Light with it. And just prior to that, a little bit before that, we played the Killzone. And honestly, the Xbox controller just didn't feel right. And especially because Dying Light made a lot of use of that right bumper.
Yeah.
You're jumping, and I kept missing the bumper, which
exactly.
It wasn't the same. Like the Xbox 360 controller, I have no problem hitting those bumpers. The PlayStation 3, the PlayStation 4, but it was just really odd getting that bumper on the Xbox One controller.
And exactly, and that type of game is better suited to me for mouse and keyboard. I make no secret about that. That's the type of game that I play. When I played the other build the next day, they gave me a standard Xbox 360 controller. Yes, there were a couple times where, like, I mistimed my jumps and I didn't quite hit the ledge right and I went off. But I went through the whole thing, no dying, whipped through it. And the only time I goofed up is a couple of times I didn't do my jump right and I jumped too far and I fell. But, you know, in combat, I was whipping through the thing and I couldn't believe how much easier I was moving through it. Now, admittedly, it was a completely different map and so on. But, you know, it lets you know. And then, of course, there's that whole issue about Rise, Son of Rome, that apparently some of the cabinets popped open. I don't know if you've heard this. And I believe on Titanfall as well. And they were not Xbox 360 Xbox Ones at the Microsoft booth. They had PCs that were rendering the game. And, you know, people had kind of commented how, gee, these graphics don't really look all that next generation. And that's been I can't confirm it head on. All I know is that when I looked at them, it looked okay, but it definitely wasn't anything I would consider earth-shattering. Titanfall does look like a fun game, but I'm definitely going to be more than likely playing the PC version of it, not the console. So, you know, that was another interesting twist to it. And, you know, the other things was Elder Scrolls Online. I got to say, I was really impressed with this. You know me, I have fantasy RPG games. I'm kind of, those are best for my sister and some other people. I just love the detail level of it. I loved being able to open world walk and not be stuck with all these micromanagement quests where you're on a very narrow path. I enjoyed walking through the countryside, and yes, I had to take out some wolves and stuff like that, but seeing little bunny rabbits come along, having, you know, a more open world setting of I can go here first before here, I don't have to do all my quest tasks in a specific order. Having quests that were actually interesting to me, having a storyline that adapted and changed as the quest was completed, giving the options to say, I want to do this, but I don't want to do this, and I really enjoyed it. I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, how the public responds to it. I also like the fact that the developers said they are still shooting for 200 people in a game right now. In a battle as their ultimate hope. So definitely looking forward to seeing how that plays out. So Justin, technology wise, what was on your radar? What really looked interesting to you?
I'm not entirely sure. Like what all was
dropping there?
Sorry, can you hear me?
Hey, we may have lost Justin due to a tech issue. Joseph, you still there?
I hear Justin just fine.
Oh, perfect. Got you guys now.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, so go on ahead. Talk tech with us. Sorry, had a little tech issue there.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Always fun when you talk tech and then you have tech issues.
Yeah. You know, to be honest, I didn't really follow all that much that came out of PAX in terms of technology. But, you know, one thing I did see lately or today was that they announced a new HDMI output, HDMI 2.0.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that was specific to PAX. I don't even know if they showed that there. But
No, I think the key with that is what they're going to do is that, you know, I was talking to Jen about that last night, and my thought is that's something that's going to become more and more common simply because with the ultra-high-def televisions, the 8Ks and stuff like that, you're going to need better bandwidth, and especially with the new games coming out, I figured it was only a matter of time until you saw stuff like that starting to pop out. So.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, most of... I don't think very many people have, like, 4K televisions or higher. So right. It'll be a long time before, you know, people will need to run out and go get HDMI 2.0 cords or whatever. But
well,
you know,
they're, they're expecting the price to drop quite a bit between now and the Super Bowl. And I think that's it. I think people can pick them up now in the $1,500 range. And so, you know, I think they're kind of just preparing for the, you know, the next onslaught, as it were. So, you know, go figure. Now, I'll tell you what I was interested in. I'll tell you who really impressed me was Corsair really impressed me because they showed off some of their Vengeance headsets as well as some of their other headsets. I definitely like some of their gaming mice and their keyboards because they've always done a good job. Like Joseph said, I was kind of surprised not to see Razer there in any capacity, but I really like what we saw at Turtle Beach. Their representative, Robert, took a lot of time to show off some of the things with us. They were showing off some of these cross-platform things, and they were talking about some of their plans for some upcoming headsets that are Call of Duty Ghost themed as well as Marvel Comics themed.
Those headsets, the Marvel and Ghost themed, those look awesome. I can't wait to see those when they come out.
And they like the Astro ones, they have the interchangeable plates, so that'll give, you know, people something to look forward to. Another thing that I'm really interested in is Disney Infinity. Doing our review with that, kind of, you know, people say, well, isn't that just Skylander? Well, yay and nay. You know, is open world Disney, you create your own characters, your sets, your backgrounds, your vehicles, and you create your own world to play with, you know, on your own or interact with others. The trick with that is I've always figured out how many, you know, you come with your starter pieces, and each piece adds more and more characters and stuff. But I was in the store today, and they can run anywhere from $27.95 to $10.95 for new characters and stuff. So I could see that being a bit of a question as to, gee, which ones do I get? You know, do I go with the, you know, Incredibles? Do I go with Monsters U? Do I go with this? But then I realized that's all a matter of personal preference. It's a simple matter of which characters do you want to play, and you can go from there. You know, other things I mentioned, we talked about Bethesda. You know, the Wolfenstein looks really good, the new one that's coming. The footage of The Evil Within looks very good. And, you know, some of the other things that stood out was I got a chance to go visit Cooler Master, and they showed a modular PC that will be coming out later around October, and we're going to hopefully be doing something on that. I got a look at Logitech. They had a lot of really nice gaming accessories that were out. But 2K really impressed me. Because we got to have a look at the new downloadable content coming for Borderlands 2, which is the Halloween-themed one, and we went out and took out that giant pumpkin, and the developers have said, rather than do a new campaign with, you know, four new downloadable episodes to be locked into it, they decided they're just going to release them, you know, as they see fit. That way, you know, they're not out selling a new pack, and everyone says, okay, great, well, you got to give us four new, you know, programs within the next year. I really liked seeing what they had for XCOM, the new units, the mech units, and the new weaponry was fantastic. They had, you know, the new WWE, they had the NBA 2K out there, so a lot of good stuff there. And, you know, the other interesting thing is, as you went around packs, you would find these little things here. I know my wife really enjoyed seeing Plants vs. Zombies 2. I really got a kick out of sitting down with Shadow Warrior. I don't know if any of you guys had a chance to see that. Justin, I think this is something you might get a kick out of, even though it's going to date me a little bit. But back in the day when Duke Nukem 3D came out, it was quite revolutionary and quite popular. And so the company 3DS made a new... 3D Realms. They made a... game called Shadow Warrior, which is basically the same type of engine, about a Japanese character named Lobo, and it had, for what at the time was considered revolutionary gameplay, such as a map, you know, interactive map where you could be in a room above, break through to the floor below, the map would stay the same, and it didn't involve leading. You know, you can clearly see up, down, and this room is on top of this room and on top of this room. And the problem was it came out right at the time of the PC revolution, and I don't mean personal computing, I mean politically correct. So people were saying, why does he have a Chinese name if he's Japanese? Why is he fighting guys with coolie hats? This isn't accurate. This is offensive. And it didn't do as well as they hoped. There was some, you know, expansion packs made available for it. Well, 15 years later, they're back. They are not planning to put multiplayer in it right now, but they did tell me today that should the game come out and do well, they will consider adding it in. It's just the cost of the multiplayer is something that they decided at this point, let's concentrate on 12 solid hours of gameplay and go from there. But, you know, you think of a fantasy, you know, this time out, Lo Wang is basically kind of like a courier, but he has his katana sword. He still makes his wise comments, like, who wants some Wang when he goes into battle? There's all these hidden areas. He uses guns as well as his sword, but he also has these power-ups that he can get that give him offensive, defensive spells, sword spells. But, you know, for me, the great joy was just jumping right into the fray, and here's some bodyguards as well as some supernatural guys bringing the sword out and just cleaving them to pieces as he starts, you know, firing off the one-liners. So I was really, really impressed with what I saw, and it's going to be coming out at the end of September. Right now, just for Steam, you know, go out there and download it. It won't even be in the stores, but they also are considering consoles in the future, so really impressed with that one. So other stuff, Joseph, that stood out to you?
Well, there was this indie game that I went to go take a look at. I told you about it that morning. It was it's called Dwarven Delve, and it's going to be coming out for the PlayStation Network, the Xbox Marketplace, and they're trying to get it on Steam as well. And it's an interesting little game. It's about you play a group of dwarves basically going through caves looking for clues to your ancestry. But the game is kind of an explorer slash puzzle game, as you kind of have to rotate the different parts of the dungeons that you're in or the caves to line up runes and eliminate monsters and just figure your way out of there and finding what you're looking for. And it looked really, really interesting. It's supposed to be out this holiday season, and they're trying to get it onto, like I said, Steam, but they're definitely slated for the PlayStation Network and the Xbox Live Marketplace.
Well, that's definitely a great way to do it. You know, one thing about it is, you know, we haven't even talked about some of the music games, too, that are coming back. You know, there's a lot of talk about the PlayStation Vita is going to be out for $199 since it's got a tie-in to the PlayStation 4. And, you know, one of the clever things was we talked about Turtle Beach earlier. I really got a kick out of this one here, is that they have, you know, we talked about the Marvel 7 and the new i30 media headsets. They had this fantastic promotion going on where people were able to turn in any headset and get an XP7 trade-up. And we have a picture that we're going to be posting very soon of the bin. So basically, they allowed 100 people. You come in, you give them a headset, they take it, and then they hand you a brand new headset. And that went over extremely well. The guy, you know, we talked with him, ran into him at one of the refreshment stands, and he said, when you get a chance, go by and have a look. Next day, that bin was overflowing. So, you know, people were running around carrying the new headsets. So we got a real, you know, real laugh out of that. Sonic the Lost World, they had some fantastic stuff there for the Nintendo Wii U. And that is coming out hopefully around Christmas, October, I believe. And, you know, we all know what Sonic the Hedgehog's all about. But this time, thanks to the power of the Wii U, you're not limited to just going back and forth. You can go out to the horizon and back. You have, you know, more interactive levels that are not just flat 2D representations. You've got a chance to play, you know, Rome 2 and actually won this time, unlike the battle I played at Comic-Con. So really, really impressive with that. And, you know, the great thing about PAX, I don't know what you guys thought, was that there was a lot of smaller, more independent games there that were holding their own against the big boys. So I'm really intrigued to see how this is going to, you know, play out. Obviously, they don't have the money to do the, you know, the marketing and the awareness factor that the big boys do, but I really am curious to see how this is going to play out down the road. Any other things that stood out to you guys?
Beyond that, I can't really think of much else. Well, yeah, the usual run-of-the-mill stuff, like, you know, getting to actually see the controllers and experience some of the things. The like you said, the Borderlands content looked pretty good. It was fun watching you try to take out that giant jack-o'-lantern.
I got him. we got him. The second time through, we got him. Yeah, see, that's the fun thing when you have to play one of the characters they generate for you rather than your own the whole time. You know, we have lightly touched on it, but it's coming out next month, the new Batman game. You know, we went a lot heavier on that at our Comic-Con coverage than we did here. And, you know, that still looked extremely impressive, and there should be some really good things coming from that.
Yeah, no, that definitely looks really good. I did get to a little bit of hands-on with the Blackgate that's coming out for the Vita. And it's the first game that I'm actually really excited for on the Vita since I got it a year and a half ago.
Really?
Yeah, you know, there's been a few games out, but, like, you know, Call of Duty came out, and there's a few others, but I haven't really bought very many games since launch. I've played Assassin's Creed, which was fun, but it had its little quirks and glitches. Mod Nation Racers was a big one that I played a lot, but, like, when Call of Duty came out, I was interested, but I heard so many bad things about it. When I tried it, it didn't live up to what I thought it was going to be. But as I played the Batman Arkham Blackgate, it was a lot of fun, and I can't wait to see that one come out.
Oh, very, very interesting. Yeah, I think we'll definitely have to keep our eyes on that. I know, you know, like I said, the big thing right now is everything's dominated by the new consoles. November 15th, the PlayStation 4, November 22nd has been announced for the Xbox One. We've been told the first palette of games, first palette of Xbox Ones has already been packaged up and sent off to retailers, which, you know, in a way is good, but at the same time, there's that part of me that says, well, that tells me that they are not going to be doing any last-minute changes or anything like that, so kind of what we saw is definitely going to be what it is, so, you know, I just hope for their sake that they are not rushing this thing to market, because, truthfully, I think the last thing they need is another Red Ring of Death issue. They need to have staple units come on the market with a solid lineup of games, you know, if they're going to do it. Because, you know, a lot of it's propaganda and stuff, but we're being told right now that the PS4 is roughly outselling it 4-1. So, you know, that's kind of a big number right there. And, you know, if it comes out and it has either of them, but, you know, if the Xbox should come out and have hardware issues, that's going to really make things difficult. Joseph, let's get your comments on SteelSeries, since you had stopped by the booth. We'd mentioned briefly, you know, in the show earlier, we talked about the Apex Raw. What do you have to tell us about that?
You know, I like the overall feel of the keyboard. To me, I know that sounds weird. A lot of people are just interested in, you know, how many, what's the ghosting on it, you know, everything like that. But, like, the feel of the keyboard is big for me as well, whether or not it's comfortable to actually sit and play with. And I got to play, you know, Counter-Strike for a little bit, the new one, Rations, and it felt very natural. It seems like it has a lot of really good responsiveness to it. It wasn't a very loud keyboard at all. There was a lot of – I wish I had a little bit more time with it at the time to sit and play with the programmable buttons and see what I could do with the macros on there and everything like that. But overall, I was really impressed with it.
Yeah, it was really impressive. Another thing, too, I wanted to mention in passing, MadCats has some new keyboards and technology out. And we also went over and checked out the Kingston booth briefly. And, you know, while traditionally they're known for memory and storage devices, they had a new line of headsets. They said that they will be – you know, introducing very soon as well, and they were very, very nice. You know, they were made for them, obviously. They had, you know, reminiscent of the SteelSeries line, but they had their own line that's coming out very soon, so really interested to see how that plays out for them in the not-too-distant future. Now, speaking of conventions, before I forget, I know we have, thankfully, some time off here to catch up, get the magazine done, start planning for the fall, and generally enjoying the change of weather, because I can tell you, coming back from the 78 and intermittent rain up in Washington that we enjoyed thoroughly to 106 degrees when they opened the door on the plane was a bit of a shock. But we have cooler weather ahead. And with that, we'll be coming up on the BlizzCon in November, as well as some other stuff. I know you have a convention in Portland that you're going to be looking into. You attended the Star Trek convention in Seattle recently, so can you give us, without spoiling anything that might be in your write-ups that we'll be using later, can you give us your impressions on the creation Star Trek show?
You know, it was a lot of fun. It wasn't your typical type of convention where you see, you know, people setting up booths and come and see this and come and do that. This is more focused, obviously. Mainly the biggest attraction were the panels, and the panels were excellent. I enjoyed everyone that I went to, but I have to say the one that I probably enjoyed the most, just because they're a riotous group, is the ladies of the Next Generation, where they had and God, I can't think of their names right now, the actresses, but they had
McFadden, Marina Sirtis. Sorry.
Oh, there you go. Well, you know, and it's funny because I've only just recently in the past year or two become interested in the Star Trek universe. A lot of it is owed to J.J. Abrams. But, you know, Dr. Beverly Crusher was on there. And they were hilarious. You know, interacting with the crowd, with the things that they were doing, the questions that they were asked. And they were so supportive of their fans. And it was just overall a really, really good time. I know I committed sacrilege and I picked up a Star Wars shirt while I was there, but they had a lot of really cool Star Trek memorabilia for sale, and a lot of interesting collectibles and things like that. And overall, it was just a really good time.
You know, I'll tell you one of the things that I remember. I used to cover them a lot. You know, before we got the website going, just when I was doing like stuff for the papers and the community radio. And that was back in the day, you know, kind of pre-internet day, when they would come sometimes every few months. There would be a Star Trek show in the Seattle area. And I was talking to Jen about it the other day. I said I kind of miss it in a way, because back then that was the only way to get new information on what was coming in the TV series without, of course, having, you know, because you got to remember, Star Trek The Next Generation debuted in 1987. Internet did not become readily available, you know, widespread till like 1994. Sure, it was on college campuses. Yes, there were some early adapters, but that's when those kits and Netscape started to really go out and make it accessible to people. And at that time, you know, if you wanted to find out what was coming up in future episodes, short of being in the Star Trek magazines, the conventions were the best way to go. And I remember Marina Sirtis, who plays Counselor Troi in the Star Trek The Next Generation series of movies. Somebody asked her once, and I thought it was such a great question. They said, how does it feel to be considered a sex symbol by people that think triples and Klingons are cool and sexy? And she started laughing, and she said, you know, honestly, it doesn't matter. As long as you're considered it and they think highly of you, more power to it. And I thought, you know, that was a really refreshing answer. And so, you know, definitely looking forward to that. They were in town. They haven't been in Phoenix for a couple of years, but I suspect we'll be on the radar soon. Now, Justin has been laying quietly here in wait. So switching away from games, Justin, you have topics I am sure that you're interested in discussing, be it movies, games, technology, TV shows you're upset with, anything. So here's your big forum right now.
Awesome. Well, actually, I had a thought earlier going back to the Xbox One, and I think you've nailed something that is that might be a huge problem. And that's the, you know, throughout this whole reveal of the next console generation, it seems to be that there's been a theme with Microsoft that they've been kind of behind Sony. Like, they've been playing catch up. Like, they're more on the reaction side. You know, that stems from, you know, Sony being first out of the gate, and I think that surprised Microsoft, so they sped up a little bit on all their reveals and things to you know, to try to go in line with the PS4. And like you said, when they release it in November, are they really going to be ready? Because
changed so much.
Yeah, they've done a complete 180 on most of their features, and then, you know, there's also like a smaller report that they were actually making hardware changes like a couple months ago. So, you know, this is like down to the wire. Like, they're going to release this thing in about a month, actually 2 months now. So,
yeah, it is going to be very interesting. You know, I'll tell you what I'm most interested about, and I'm not, you know, getting away from hardware specifics, tech specifics, what does what, you know, the proof's going to be in the pudding. Bottom line, most people have decided, you know, based on pre-orders, the PlayStation 4 has been the one that's gotten the early buzz. The Xbox has been gaining ground thanks to the fact that they've changed some of this. Now, a lot of it's going to be in the play, as we've talked about for months ad nauseum. Who's got the exclusives? Who's going to have a stable platform? Who's going to support the product? You know, we all know that. I think it's safe to say that as time goes on, most devout gamers are probably going to end up with both of them.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, whoever picks the first, whichever one people pick, the financial issues aside, the number of exclusives that come will likely influence how quickly they get the other. Nobody wants to be the Wii U that's, you know, a year later, we're still waiting for the signature games to come. And right now, off the top of the bat, you know, Sony is the one that appears to have, you know, the big thump of all these exclusive games rolling out. But of course, you know, having the games is one thing. Having the games actually come out and be good is something else. You know, we've heard that Microsoft, no shocker, there's another Halo coming. You know, they've got the zombie game. I've drawn a blank on it, so if you guys want to help me out, it's the third one. Dead Rising. Rising 3 is coming out. And, of course, you know, Rise, Son of Rome, Titanfall, and stuff like that. Yes, there'll be PC versions available for it. You know, there are little things in there. Like, for example, it's reported that Sony gamers are now going to have to pay for online connectivity. That's never been something they've had to do before. How are people going to react to that? Are people going to like the new features on the Xbox? Will these work? You know, all of that stuff will be figured out down the road. My question right now is going to be, I'm really interested to see who is going to have the units on hand, because we all know last year Nintendo did a great job of sticking Wii U's all over the place. They were not hard to find, at least down in the Phoenix market. You could go into any Best Buy, any Target, stuff like that, and there they were right around the Christmas season, piled up with pyramids. It wasn't like the previous Wii, where, you know, it was still April and people were fighting each other trying to get, get units. And what I'm trying to figure out is, say you got your heart set on a PS4, you go into the store. There's no PS4 on hand, the Xbox One is there. How many people are going to grab that, and how many people are going to say, you know what, I'll wait, and vice versa. So I think that's going to be kind of a big deal as to, you know, Sony said flat out, I talked to the rep at PAX, and he said our factories are going full out capacity to try to meet demand for this thing. Said, you know, they're all of our possible manufacturing outlets for the PS4 are rolling full speed ahead just to try to meet demand for this thing. So, you know, that's a good thing, and I'm sure Microsoft would say something similar, but the question is going to be, you know, you don't want to see things thrown in the marketplace that are not quite together. At the same time, you know, this is the big season coming up. People are going to put their $400 to $500 together. Not everybody's going to have $1,000 laying around to pick up two consoles. And is it going to come down to, for some undecided people, simply which one's in the store when they go?
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, I from what I'm hearing, I don't think you're going to find too many sitting in the store. I think it's going to basically be pre-ordered probably through the first of the year. I mean, you'll see some, obviously, like Target or Best Buy, or someone might get a, you know, a case or two of some might show up. They open them up, put them on the floor, and if you happen to be in the floor, when they come out, they'll be there, but you can pretty much bet they'll probably be gone an hour or two later. So, you know, that's just how it is. So, guys, looking forward, what do you have coming up that you guys are looking forward to getting your hooks into? Any topic, upcoming movie, DVD, video game? Technology.
For me, it's Amnesia next week.
Okay. I am definitely looking forward to seeing some of the new movies that are coming out. I'm looking forward to seeing Riddick and see how that rolls out. With all the travel, I didn't get to go do the press night, so we had to send someone out for that. I'm interested to see what you guys make of the Puyallup Fair, because once again, I'm upset that it's always, always, always 3 days after we have to come back that the thing starts. And believe me, if I could find a way that we could do PAX and then still hang out up there and catch the fair without having to run back, but it's always work or some kind of duty calls or vacation or something like that. But, you know, one of these years we're going to get that fixed out. I definitely want to see, Joseph, you were kind enough to send over the new trailer for RoboCop, so we'll be slapping that up on the social networks really soon.
Yeah, I saw that right at the beginning as we were sitting down, and I'm like, oh, I gotta watch this.
Yeah. Well, other than that, guys, I think we covered everything. I mean, the only thing we have left now is just to knock out the September magazine and take a few deep breaths and get ready for the December magazine and the holiday gift guides, which I'm already, you know, desperately, I shouldn't say desperately, but eagerly planning out already. We've had a really good response from people who want to be in the magazine, so we'll see how that goes. I knocked out the the fall movie preview, at least my section of that today, so yay. And I've heard that we may be getting some Star Wars news in the not-too-distant future, so...
Yeah, that'll be good. And I'll be at the Rose City Comic Con down in Portland, Oregon. It's their second year doing it up here in a couple weeks. And so that should be a lot of fun and fairly interesting.
Who are the guests for that one? I've not had a chance to check the recent updates. So who are the guests of note?
I have my list here of who I'll be checking out. 1 second, hold on here.
I know that's one of the other things, too. It's funny, this time of year, I keep thinking in my head that, I'll tell you, people always say to me, you know, what do you miss about Washington, and what do you, you know, obviously there are a lot of good things, like, for example, when that rainstorm hit the other day, Joseph, you were riding with us, and you heard Jen clearly say, yeah, I'm done with the rain at this point. It took us almost 2 hours to get back because of the traffic back up. We miss that aspect, but, you know, it was kind of odd. It's every time we go back, it's almost like, wow, it's not almost like you haven't gone, like you've been on an extended vacation for a while. But, you know, it's weird because we start school down here in August, and we were back there watching our nieces and nephews go off for their first day of school just, you know, hours before we went to the airport. And like I tell people, it's almost like the switch is thrown. Right after Labor Day, some of the rain can come in. You still have some nice days, but the rain was coming in. And I was looking around, and I go, you know, it's funny. You start to smell like the fires and the pumpkins and stuff as people are getting ready for the fall. And in my mindset, I keep thinking, isn't this the time that I'm supposed to go up to Canada and get ready for VCon and all of that stuff? But instead, I'm, you know, gearing up for Tucson Comic Con, which we will be appearing at. And we're also looking at doing a zombie-themed Halloween event for the Ultra Star Entertainment Complex, so we'll have more information on that. And of course, I know it's a ways off, because it's not going to be Memorial Day weekend next year. It'll be the first weekend in June, but we will be at the Phoenix Comic Con doing our packed panels, and we've got some radio segments coming up on KISW FM as well, so a lot of good stuff upcoming. Okay, Joseph, take it out.
Yeah, some of the guests we have are Jewel State, which most people will know from, you know, Serenity and Firefly, but she's been in other things such as Supernatural, Warehouse 13, a few things. One you might be interested in is David Gintoli, who's the lead in Grimm.
Grimm, yep.
Yeah, nice so guy. you figured he'd be there since Grimm is based out of Portland.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that going, boy, that was tough. It was probably do we send the car from the set, or, you know?
So we also have Avery Brooks, which we all know is, you know,
Captain Sisko.
Sisko from Star Trek. And Sam Jones will be there, you know, Flash Gordon.
All right.
And the most recently announced, although there's a few others, but most recently announced is Christopher Judge, you know, SG-1 fame. Yeah. He's going to be there as well.
Well, just on a note here, guys, I've got some... breaking news for you. Apparently, JoeBlow.com is reporting that Game of Thrones and Thor: The Dark World director Alan Taylor has been confirmed to direct Terminator 5. This film will now be a reboot and the first in a new trilogy, is what they are saying. And yes, Arnold Schwarzenegger will be involved. So, you know, see more information on that to come. You know, I know he won't do it because he's because of the issues with the rights and stuff like that. I know that he's tied up making Avatar 2, 3, and 4, but you tell me how psyched you'd be if James Cameron said, you know, basically, screw it, I'm back and I'm doing the next Terminator.
That would be good.
Forget 3, forget the last one. I'm doing the next Terminator. This is the official, fully sanctioned follow-up to Terminator 2. Linda Hamilton, you know, all of them, boom, back, bang. That would be an interesting thing that would get a lot of people's attention. Aside from that, guys, I really appreciate it. We had our freeform show today. We'll be back next month. We promise we'll get one in October for you guys, our Halloween-themed show. So all things that is spooky, kooky, and go bump in the night. Until then, please check us out online at sknr.net. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, and our various social networks, and we have some contests coming up. I can tell you that. I can't tell you what they are, but I can tell you contests coming up. Pac-Man contest coming up. Anything else, guys?
That should be it.
That's it. Thank you guys so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.